Jewish Americans are feeling singled out. We feel alone.
Chuck Schumer feels so alone. I'd like to think that Chuck Schumer feels alone most of the time, don't you? I saw Chuck Schumer, of all the people that deserve to be alone, Chuck Schumer is near the top of that list. Well, Chuck, maybe you should say something out loud, you rapscallion, you. Silly man. The rise of the Fourth Reich continues, in particular on Ivy League campuses, but not exclusively. We had a bit at Northwestern University, Evanston, Illinois, just outside of Chicago yesterday. The rising tide of, you know, old-fashioned German-style anti-Semitism being spearheaded, you know, by the Democrat Party trying to keep the Socialist Workers' Party of the mid-20th century alive. Remarkable time to be alive. It certainly is. It's good to know your history, I think. And so many people don't. Am I right about that? What extraordinary. Yes, sir. A great many things that the Democrats have provided us with. We have President Trump returning to the courtroom in New York today. And New Yorkers are getting tired of the circus environment, which I think is kind of funny because, you know, you guys are the clowns. Bada boom. See, just saying. You know, you got to, it's your vote counts, and you voted for this stuff, you crazy people. So we've got President Trump going back to court, and he's being accused of violating his gag order. His gag order. Is it a ball gag order? I'm just curious, what kind of gag order is it? Is it the kind that maybe Humma Wiener would like? Is it that kind of gag order? Excellent gag order. We've got an update on President Trump, but he will be back in court while we're on the air. It is Passover, the Jewish holiday underway right now. So the Democrats are goose-stepping around the yard. I've got to say, they got the hobnail boots out. They got the armbands out. They have the chants, you know, death to America, death to Israel. This is the Democrat Party in the mainstream. On college campuses, it's the next generation. And I've got some great stuff. I really do. Wonderful people have spoken up. A couple of wonderful people have spoken up. And including Congresswoman Claudia Tenney, spoke up this morning in the 5 a.m. hour, and I've got that for you. And a great combat vet and Yale Law School graduate who is speaking up as well. I have great audio for you there. Wonderful stuff. And Robert Kraft, the well-known, he's very wealthy, very successful, and a Columbia University grad. Robert Kraft, he's spoken up about this. And there was a kind of funny moment with Alec Baldwin, the actor, you know, Hunt for Red October. And oh, what else? He was in something else, too. Oh, yeah, Rust. It was Rust. And Alec Baldwin, I think he just went to get a coffee in New York yesterday. Am I right? It looked like Manhattan. It smelled like Manhattan in the video. And Alec Baldwin went to get a coffee at a fancy boutique-y kind of coffee place where you probably pay $27 for your coffee. And he was standing there minding his own business, looking slovenly, and he looked like kind of like an old drunk, didn't he? And he was trying to get a coffee. And a Democrat woman showed up rolling video with her cellular telephone provided to her by the patriarchy, which she holds in such contempt. Just be lucky you can hang with us, all right, and sit over there and be quiet. So this woman showed up with her, it looked like, I don't know, an iPhone 15. I'm just guessing. I don't know. How could I know what it looked like? But because I'm just looking through her video. But she was harassing Alec Baldwin, demanding that he say, what is it, death to Israel or something like that. And he said, no, I'm not going to say that. And she kept insisting and being obnoxious and annoying like Democrats, you know, they are. And he, would you say he punched her in the face or stiff-armed her in the face or slapped or smack? It was a smack anyway. And I watched that this morning and I said, wow, Alec Baldwin really has issues when it comes to women with cameras, doesn't he? I mean, he's got, here's another woman with a camera, but I guess she's the lucky one because at least he didn't shoot her and kill her like the last woman with a camera. But women, you know, you're on notice. Just know that if you see Alec Baldwin and you're making a video or a film for that matter of him, that you're in grave danger because he's Alec Baldwin. The woman wanted him to say, beep, Israel, the F word. She wanted him to curse and say beep, Israel, and beep, Zionism, because apparently she hates the Jews. She's a little Nazi. And but it's made for a kind of funny video and sort of funny audio, too. I'll explain the video portion as we go forward. So we've got that going on, too. That was amusing. Alec Baldwin and women with cameras. Just don't do it. Just stay away. If you're making video or film and you see Alec Baldwin, stop for your own safety, for God's sake. But back to the rising tide of Nazism, you know, the Fourth Reich, which is, I think, the Democrat Party, isn't it? The key, you always have to keep in mind that the you go to school and they tell you, oh, yeah, Hitler and the Nazis, they were big right-wingers that called themselves the Socialist Workers Party of Germany. They called themselves the Socialist Workers Party of Germany. They were to the right of communists, who were the other major political force in Western Europe and in Germany at that time. But never minding that, because what we're seeing on college campuses, and in particular, not exclusively, not limited to, but in particular on Ivy League campuses, in we got Columbia University and Harvard and MIT, and now, honestly, the president, another woman of Columbia University, she's got to go, too. You notice they're all women, and they're all like women of color or LGBTQQIA or something like this, and they check boxes all over the place. That is not a double entendre. And it's got another one who's got to go. Remarkable stuff. Columbia University, Barack Obama went there. Columbia's most outspoken critic of anti-Israel protests, Professor Shai Davidi, refused entry to campus. And I don't know if you saw this, but the professor, who's Jewish, said he wanted to go to campus, and he alerted the authorities, you know, the authorities. Und I think all these places you'd think they're Germans. Actually, the woman is an Egyptian at Columbia University that's running the place. So maybe might as well be German. What's the difference? Egyptian, German, in this context. But the professor, who's a pretty well-known professor in professor circles, Shai Davidi, and he announced that he was going to be going to campus, and he wanted to Columbia University, where all the little Germans are camped out. And where do they get all these matching tents? Does everybody show up at Columbia University with tents? What is that? It's part of your kit when you show up and you're going to the dorms or living off campus. You got to bring a tent with you when you go to Columbia, in case you major in homelessness or something like that. That might be an available major, by the way. But they've all got these tents, and they're kind of matching tents. It looks like they shopped at the same store at the same time to buy all the tents. Maybe George Soros bought them for them because it's a little bit too uniform, a little bit too German. Honestly, Achtun, students, we will now march this way. But the professor, he wanted to go, and he announced ahead of time, he said, I'm going to go to campus, I'm going to go to the encampment, the tent city that you've set up with these radical spoiled brats. And he said, and I'd like a police escort because I'm Jewish, I don't feel safe. And they said, screw you, the authorities. Can I call them the authorities? The administrators at Columbia said, not only did they say, screw you, we're not providing you with police, we're not providing you with security, you can die for all we care. I think it was the official statement. And when he got there, he said, well, I'm going to go there anyway, even though they're not going to provide me with the police protection I asked for. And he got there only to learn that they canceled his swipe card, you know, his ID that gives him access. Everybody's got these, at least in Washington, everybody's got these everywhere you go. In the building I'm in right now, there are two different swipe cards to get from here to there and then there to here. The building I work in for Newsmax, downtown Washington, D.C., another swipey thing. They're all over the place. Well, he's got his swipey thing to get on the campus at Columbia University, and he showed up only to discover that they canceled. He's, again, a member of the faculty. He's a professor. And they canceled his swipey card so he couldn't get on campus. And there was a sign outside the gate that says, no dogs, no Jews. No dogs, no Jews. So it's an old Irish reference for people that don't know anything. That's, 100 years ago or so, 120 years ago, 140 years ago. People in New York, for example, used to put signs up on their businesses, no dogs, no Irish, right? And now they've got at Columbia University, they're enlightened liberals, progressives, and no dogs, no Jews. They wouldn't let him on campus. His swipey card was deactivated, canceled. So pretty amazing stuff. And in the meantime, the campus is so dangerous that especially to the Jewish people, during Passover, because, is that a coincidence? Do you think that's a coincidence? Maybe they just hate all year long and now we're in Passover. Or they dialed it up for Passover because they're that filled with hatred. They're definitely filled with hatred. Amazing stuff. But the president of the university there, who is not on the side of civilization, she's a leftist and not a liberal. And she, day before yesterday, said on Sunday, I don't think any student should come in tomorrow. And a rabbi at Columbia said, if you're Jewish, go home, wherever you're from. If you're from North Dakota or from Florida, go there. And if you're going to still keep this education thing going, do it online, do it by phone, do it by Zoom call, but don't come here because it's not safe for you because of the goose-stepping and the armbands. And they call themselves liberals. It's remarkable. Well, now Columbia University moves to hybrid learning on their main campus for the rest of the semester, the rest of the school year. It's now a permanent thing because it's too dangerous because of the rise of fascism and anti-Semitism by the Democratic Party. And, and AOC, she's out there. She's a Bolshevik, a socialist, dumb as a stump. And she yesterday was talking about how the wonderful, peaceful protests at Columbia with barely a lynching and they, only one synagogue burned lately in New York, but pay no attention to that. So Columbia professors declare solidarity with student protesters and call for the president of the university, Shafiq's resignation. Her name is Shafiq. Shafiq. I think that was a character in Lawrence of Arabia, wasn't it? When they were attacking the Turkish troop train, I think Shafiq was there. But Shafiq is the president, and now these radical left-wing extremist anti-Semite professors, some of them doubtless Jewish, showed up to show their support for Hamas and the Ayatollahs, and they marched in a line. You see them? Do you watch the video, Michael? Because they marched out like ronk, 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 ronk. Wrong, wrong, wrong. Aktun, Aktun. We will all be alert now. And they came to show their support and their solidarity for the anti-Semitism. Pretty remarkable stuff. Pro-Palestinian protesters arrested at Yale. Pro-Palestinian protesters, they're really pro-Hamas. They're anti-Semites. They're genocidal lunatics. They're supporting genocidal armies and opposing civilization itself. In this case, that's you side with Hamas and oppose Israel. Israel representing civilization, Hamas representing the death of civilization. And the left, they're out there supporting the people that represent the death of civilization itself. So arrested at Yale. And how many were arrested at Yale? 47, I believe, were arrested at Yale. Arrested at NYU. Arrested at Columbia University. Columbia University cancels in-person classes because of the rise of mob violence and anti-Semitism. And that's your Democrat Party. University of Maryland students stage a pro-Hamas protest on the campus lawn. The Democrats have made it very trendy. They've made anti-Semitism. They're taking it mainstream. And I was reading the Washington, actually, my best girl, truth be told, was reading the Washington Post today. And she laughed out loud. I said, what is it, my dove? She said, here's this woman at Yale they're quoting in the Washington Post. You'll never guess what her major is. I said, what's her major, sweetie? And then I'll share with you the woman's major. Quoted in the Washington Post today. I had to look it up on Al Gore's Amazing Internet, because I didn't believe they had a major that was named that. But I looked it up, and sure enough, there is a major at Yale, and this woman is majoring in it. She doesn't like the Jews. There might be some connective tissue there. We are at 8. I'll explain coming up. We're at 888-630-9625.
Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
Hi, my best girl reading the newspaper this morning, the awful, horrible, corrupt, tragic, empty shell of a former newspaper, the Washington Post. And they're talking about Yale University, an Ivy League school of some repute. And they've got these radicals there. And they quote in the Washington Post today, Noor Karim, N-O-O-R, Noor Karim, a 21-year-old ethnicities, race, and migration major. She got into Yale, and somebody's paying her way. Not her, but somebody else. And she has a major in ethnicities, race, and migration. When she graduates, she's going into human trafficking. She's going into human smuggling. It's really the only area that she's going to be qualified for. And that reminded us this morning, that ridiculous, comical satire of a major, which really, she could do drugs too. When you're doing the human and the child sex trafficking, you can also do drugs, I think. But that's about it. Yale, that's what she's going to Yale for. It reminded us of a story from last week, a jihadi at the at USC, the University of Southern California, where you may recall O.J. Simpson went. It's O.J. Simpson's alma mater. And they had this radical extremist pro-jihad terrorist sympathizer at USC, who they naturally selected to be their valedictorian at the graduation and speak to the crowd because they're spreading anti-Semitism on campuses from USC to MIT to Columbia to Harvard and Yale. But this ridiculous person who was scheduled to be their commencement speaker, give the commencement address, and then had the plug pulled on her last week. She had a major. Her name is Asna Tabassum. Asna Tabassum is her name. And what was her major, Michael? What would she major in? She majored in nothing real good, that's for sure.
Biomedical engineering.
No. That's her minor. It's her minor that she, because she did have a real major, I think. But she minored in, she's minoring still, in resistance to genocide. Resistance, that's an available. So you can, honestly, you go to Yale, you can major in ethnicity, race, and migration. It's time to just shut colleges down and start over again from coast to coast. And you can minor in resistance to genocide while advocating for genocide, as long as it's against the Jews and you don't want terrorists hurt. Okay, and we are back. I think Jewish Americans are longing for the days of the Jews will not replace us. Can we just, you know, it was a simpler time. that's what inspired Joe Biden to run for the presidency. He said, you know, but he doesn't really know why he does most stuff. Did you see there's a funny meme? We should share it, actually, because we haven't yet, I think. A funny meme on Al Gore's amazing internet going around. Because, you know, Joe Biden said last week that his uncle was eaten by cannibals in New Guinea. And the people of New Guinea are very upset about this. They're not amused at all. Because they say they don't just eat any white guy that falls from the sky. They're much more particular than that. But it was his uncle Bosi. And somebody, and they said, my Uncle Bosi was eaten by cannibals in New Guinea. New Guinea, not amused by his little story. It's not true. Almost everything he said about his Uncle Bosi was untrue. He wasn't a pilot. He wasn't in a single-engine plane. He wasn't shot down. There were no cannibals, though there might have been. But he crashed into the ocean, and there are no aqua cannibals like Patrick Duffy with gills, who's a cannibal swimming underwater to catch Uncle Bossy. But in any case, somebody created Uncle Bossy's barbecue seasoning, and it's a bottle of barbecue sauce, barbecue seasoning. And it's funny, made in New Guinea. It's made in New Guinea. That's what it says. And it's got a picture of World War II guy holding up a jar of something with planes flying behind him. Uncle Bossy. I think that'd be fun. Maybe it'd be a good T-shirt, too. Maybe we should have an Uncle Bossy's barbecue sauce T-shirt. But Joe Biden, remember, he was going to restore our standing in the world. And he is a foreign policy expert, even though he's been wrong about everything for 40 years, according to Robert Gates. And Robert Gates is correct. But never mind all that. Joe Biden going around offending one country after another. He's offending New Guinea. He's offending Israel. He's who else? He's not offending Putin or Iran. He loves Iran and Putin. And Xi Jinping, he would never offend them. I like President Trump better. He offended Putin, offended Xi Jinping, offended Kim Jong-un, and offended the Democrats. It's interesting. They're all on one team, right? Vladimir Putin, Xi Jinping, Kim Jong-un, the Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, and Joe Biden and the Democrats. They're all on one side. Then me and you, we're on the other side. Donald Trump, we're all on the other side. Let me take a phone call, and then I want to get to some audio, what's going on campuses, because the Democrats, really, the rising threat from the American left. And you don't hear anything about it from our FBI director, Christopher Wray, or the people on Capitol Hill, or our news media, God knows. They're smoothing it over. We actually, my best girl and I watched a bunch of news last night, CNN and CBS, and who else did we watch? And they don't even cover the news. It was just Trump, 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 Trump. Now we got another story about Trump. When we come back from the break, we've got another story about Trump. They're all negative. They're mostly false. And none of that matters. And hey, what about all the Jew hatred on campus from you liberals? Well, 44 minutes into the hour, they do a minute and 8 seconds saying that they're sharing pizza. The hilarious New York Times headline yesterday talking about what's going on at Columbia University, the virulent anti-Semitism that's driving Jews off campus. There was one sentence about that. That was CBS News, I think. One sentence about it. And it was way, way into the story. And the story was way, way into the broadcast. And they just downplay it and say it's music and pizza. Yeah, that's what's going on. Yeah, they warmed up the ovens because they're longing for the old days. Right now they're making pizzas. But, you know, Hamas, they threw babies in the ovens. Never mind that. All right, let's go to the telephones. Let's go to Chris calling from New Jersey. Christopher, you're on the Chris Plant Show. Uh-oh, pushed the wrong button.
I'm calling screener. Oh, hello?
Sorry, Chris. Now you're dialed up. There you go.
Okay. Yeah, no, I was saying, like I said to your call screener, at this point, the average Democrat hates Jews more than the average neo-Nazi, right? They are, like, because even neo-Nazis, I haven't seen them called for river to the sea, killing all the Jews. The average Democrat is. So they are worse than the average neo-Nazi, the average Democrat, because this is mainstream, you know, and it's so disgusting to watch our like people in like the congressmen in New Jersey, like Pascal and Gottheimer, bounce back and Mickey Sherrill bounce back and forth between, you know, we support Palestine and Hamas and we also support Jews. Don't forget about the Jews. Like, it's disgusting to watch them do this. But it's beautiful to watch the Democrats eating themselves. The army they unleashed is eating.
The whole idea of being a Democrat is being dashed. It's being burned alive. It's they are self-immolating, I think, is kind of what you're saying, Chris, that the Democrats are showing us, they are revealing to us who they really are. Is that correct?
That is 100% what they always were, right? You know, like, they've always been racist, Jew-hating, right? Like when they turned away the boats, when they were being slaughtered in Europe, that was Democrats. You know, like they hate the Jews. They hate the Jewish people. See, me as a Christian, I always said, you know, Revelation tells us if you're against the nation of Israel, you're going to be destroyed. You know, but as a Republican, they'll say, oh, you're a Nazi. Like they have no idea. They just say words, and they don't even think for a second what those words mean.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, you made reference to the ship, the St. Louis, which fled yes. Germany and was loaded with largely Jewish people fleeing the Nazis in 1939 out of Germany. And it was Franklin Delano Roosevelt and the Democrats that mm-hmm. turned the ship away from the United States of America, and they tried to find any place else to go. I think they tried mm-hmm. to go to Cuba, and they couldn't get to Cuba. They ended up going back to Germany because nobody would let them land. And I just grabbed something here. 1940, 254 passengers were killed in the Holocaust because FDR and the Democrats turned them mm-hmm. away. FDR and the Democrats ignored what they knew about the Holocaust. FDR and the Democrats didn't bomb the rail spurs going into the death camps like Auschwitz, even though they had plenty of intelligence indicating that they should be bombing the railways and the rail spurs going into the death camps. But, you know, the Democrat Party, and of course the Democrat Party is the party of racial segregation. Woodrow Wilson, the long before FDR, yep. the progressive Democrat president, was a segregationist and a racist who supported the KKK. The only Klansman I know I ever met was a Democrat senator from West Virginia, Robert Byrd, who was a colleague of Joe Biden's. Joe Biden didn't want his kids going to school in a racial jungle when they were racially integrating the schools in Delaware. He didn't want his kids going to school with black kids. You know, the Democrat Party, the history of the Democrat Party is the history of racism in America. Start with Jefferson Davis, the president of the Confederate States of America in the Civil War, versus Abraham Lincoln, the president of the Union of the United States of America in the Civil War. And then, of course, he was the first Republican president who was naturally shot in the head and killed by a Democrat at the end of the Civil War, a Democrat who was an actor, no less. So we've got, we've got that. And the Democrat Party is the party of Jim Crow and everything else, and we know that. But now they are rising again, aren't they, Chris? And this time, a much more terrifying and terrorizing version of the racist left. And they've got a lot of yep. people from the Middle East and their hijabs, you know, the Arab headdresses and stuff, on the campuses. And the Democrats are all in bed with them while they're chanting, as you said, from the river to the sea, which is a call for the total extermination of the state of Israel. They're showing up at rallies with red hands, with their palms of their hands and their fingers painted red. They're doing it at congressional hearings on Capitol Hill. I'm holding my hands up like I'm, you know, Michael Brown, hands up, don't shoot. And they're holding up their red hands at hearings. The red hands are a symbol that the Palestinians have had for decades now, having to do with the lynching of two young men, Israelis, in Israel that were mutilated by a violent mob of terrorist criminal anti-Semites who had tore their bodies to shreds. And they were murdered by a mob of Palestinians and lynched. And then the murderers drenched their hands in blood and came out to windows and stood there to cheering crowds, holding their hands up. I'm doing Michael Brown again, holding my hands up. They're not drenched in red, though, in blood or paint. And that became a symbol of the lynching, the Ramallah lynching of two Israeli soldiers decades ago now. And the terrorists have been using the bloody hand as a symbol of that moment. And now the Democrats have adopted that as one of their symbols. The Democrat Party is sick. There is a sickness in America today. And it's not make America great again. That's not even close. That's, January 6th. Yeah, that was nothing compared to 300 different days that the Democrats, although Ashley Babbitt was shot and killed by Lieutenant Byrd, without warning, without using a taser or a nightstick or even pushing her with his hand. No, just shooter and killer, you know. Always had it in, you know, and that was a racist killing too, wasn't it? That was a hate crime? That should have been a hate crime. If you just change one factor, that's a hate crime. That is, if Ashley Babbitt had been a Democrat, that's it. Then it would have been, hey, crime. And of course, you change, like, I guess the cop would have to be white. Ashley Babbitt would have to be like, Chris, thank you for caring. Thank you for paying attention, honestly. And now let me go, because you mentioned it, Chris. I want to share some stuff with you. In Chicago last week, maybe 2 weeks ago, the Democrats were having a rally. It was an indoor rally, and they were plotting. This is when they were plotting their disruptions of this summer's Democratic convention in Chicago. They were conspiring, which is a violation of the RICO statutes, but there will be no FBI pre-dawn raid with a CNN camera crew in tow, because, you know, the problem with that, and the problem is the FBI. But at this Chicago gathering, they were at a union headquarters when they were using their space to plot and conspire to disrupt the political convention. Isn't that what disrupting an official proceeding? Isn't that what people are sentenced to 22 years in prison for because of January 6th? These guys are doing it out in broad daylight, and no arrests, no threats of arrest, no Department of Justice investigation. But they're plotting, they're conspiring to disrupt the political activities of the stinking, filthy, racist Democrat Party. And it sounded like this inside the Union Hall.
I'm going to teach you a chant in Persian that you can use if you ever encounter those Zionist freaks, whether they be Iranian.
Those Zionist freaks.
All right? Now, I don't drink margaritas, but we all know what a margarita is. We all know what a bar is.
He's a Muslim terrorist.
So you're going to say, Marg Bar.
Listen to them.
Bar Israel.
Bar Israel.
What's that mean?
Bar Israel.
Bar.
The zombies don't even ask.
Bar Israel.
Now you got to get angrier. Get angrier.
So it has two meanings depending on the. It can mean death to or down with. So,
death to.
Can we
get a woo! They're going woo, clapping. So death to Israel.
Bar America.
Bar America.
Death to America in Persian. They're chanting death to America in Persian. They started with death to Israel in Persian, and they're learning the chant, and they're enthusiastic about it. This is what they were teaching at Occupy Wall Street with the Francis Fox Pivens, and, you know, it's like Monty Python, but drenched in blood. Well, sometimes Monty Python was drenched in blood, too, but only for jokes, you know. And so Marg Bar Israel, death to Israel, right? Marg Bar America, and they don't even say America, they just say America, right? Marg Bar America, Marg Bar America, and that's so death to America. They're chanting at the Teamsters headquarters in Chicago, and they're plotting the disruption of the Democrat convention, which I'm fine with that. Go ahead and I'm I grew up in Chicago, I have family in Chicago. Don't burn the whole city down, just your neighborhoods, you filthy. That's the Chicago gathering plotting the disruption of the Democratic convention. And now let's go to Dearborn, Michigan, where the Democrats, they're chanting the Democrats, and they're learning to say it in Persian, which makes a lot of sense, right? And he said he doesn't drink margaritas because he's a Muslim jihadi. My favorite Muslims drink. You know, they have drinks, and they're more fun because a lot of Muslims drink alcohol, and they're Americans because they're becoming Americans and stuff, and that's great because everybody knows that alcohol is great. Yeah, unless you like it too much, then you should like. But never mind that. So let's go to the Democrats in Dearborn, Michigan, where there is a high concentration of Muslim immigrants in particular, and the spawn of Muslim immigrants. And they're not on our side. They're creating a pocket. It'll end up being a no-go zone, like in France, where the jihadis rule the roost under Sharia law and so on. But in Dearborn, Michigan, the Democrats and their Islamist friends, their genocidal Islamist friends, gathered there. And what were they chanting, Michael?
Pour all of your chants and all of your shouts upon the head of America.
El Mauti America!
They're death to America. It's more condemning America. They're not on our side. Boy, are they not on our side. That's the Democrat Party. And Chris, our caller from New Jersey, is saying, you know, the media and Joe Biden were very upset that some people in Charlottesville chanted, "The Jews will not replace us," which is a weird chant. Jews are not looking to replace you, probably. I don't know. That means wouldn't be, you know, aren't very many Jews anyway. But that was kind of crazy. But they weren't chanting death to America, death to Israel, and these other radical chants. And learning the chants in Persian and in Arabic about death to Israel and death. And this is the mainstream of the Democrat Party. Make no mistake about it. They turns out the Democrats are moving their convention to Munich this year. There's an old stadium there that has been around for some time. They want to use the old stadium. Yeah, so what was worse? Who was worse? And this is, you know, one was one day and it was a fight over whether you should remove statues of Robert E. Lee and other people in parks, you know, symbols of American history. Not the best of our history, but our history. And they wanted to tear those down. That's how that whole thing started. Remember, good people on both sides. Remember that? Joe Biden had his good people on both sides moment yesterday. I've got that for you, too. The Democrats will not replace us. Also, amazingly, the President of the United States, Joseph Robinette Biden, with all of his shortcomings and all of his foibles, mockable though they may be, yesterday he had an Earth Day event in Virginia because, you know, it's the center of the Earth, Virginia. And there is a field of toxic panels, of panels with 50 different toxins. That is a solar field. And he went there, and AOC was there, and AOC praised the peaceful protests where, you know, they're chanting kill the Jews and all that. And Joe Biden gave a speech, and it was so full of errors and BS and things that he got wrong that the White House transcript, which is available on Al Gore's amazing internet, thanks to Al Gore and the patriarchy, and they crossed out lines and references and words and corrected them in the White House transcript again and again. Well, he hears some of the stuff he got wrong. It's comical and sad.
The Bigger Pockets portfolio of podcasts are worthy of your investment.
We're having a real conversation as real estate investors.
New episodes available every day.
It's important to buy where it makes money and not necessarily where you want to travel to.
Bigger Pockets, On the Market, Rookie Real Estate, or Money Podcast.
The purpose of flipping is to create more cash so then you can reinvest into other types of properties.
The Bigger Pockets podcast on YouTube or wherever you listen.